Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this second Monday of the new year as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Love to have you with us. We are expecting people from the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater if they're out on the street trying to find their way here. It is a holiday, but the radio is always on. So you're welcome to come, no matter whether it's the holiday or not. They're here to talk about their show, Photograph 51, the story of a female scientist, Rosalind Franklin. It will run, by the way, January 19th through the 29th at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. They're located, of course, just down the street from us at 3614 Main. If you MapQuest things, the zip code is 64111, and the number to call for ticket information, 816-569-3226. Their website is metkc.org. We look forward to them coming hopefully soon, but in their stead, here to fill in, he's always a wealth of information. Mike Murphy, our chief operator here of KKFI, is with us to talk about things that are all KKFI. What is the chief operator of the radio station? What is your special duties as you, you do things like that?
Mostly make sure we stay on the air and stay legal and we sound okay and equipment's working. Of course, we try to do things on a shoestring budget. We try to make things stretch.
That is hard.
We do a lot with a little, I like to think.
And we do.
Yeah. So, yeah, keeping things going, keeping us on the air.
Keeping it on the air. Yeah, KKFI is basically a volunteer-run organization. Mm-hmm. About how many volunteers, it's hard to say from time to time because people come, people go.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, because there's people, you know, there's a lot of people that do, like, maybe a regular task once a week that, you know, probably most people in the station aren't aware it's even happening. It's, you know, there's always people pitching in a little, and there's some that pitch in a lot. And, it takes a lot of people. It's amazing that this thing goes 24/7.
Yeah, people come and go. I've seen so many people come, many people go. Well-known people in the community and mm-hmm. not so well-known people in the community, but all contribute just a little bit to what goes on here at the radio station here, located at 39th and Main. It's actually you can make the argument it's actually the fourth home of KKFI. Most people would say it's the third home. The first home, in some of our minds, was in Tom Crane's basement. Mm-hmm. Then in later years, when the station finally went on the air to stay, it was located at the Mainmark building around mm-hmm. 18th and Main. That we were in Westport for Lord knows how many years are we in Westport?
A long time.
And then we've been here for...
Since 2009. So I think just about 8 years.
Yeah.
It was beginning of 2009 we're here.
And each time, the facilities get a little bit better.
Yeah. Really. So that's a good sign. That means that we're moving in the right direction, at least. It does all add up to help make for a more enriching experience. For example, like at the old station on Westport Road, the way our phone system was set up, if you were doing a call-in show, if you had someone on the air, a caller on the air, anyone else calling would just get a busy signal. And so you'd maybe have to rush someone off the air in the event that someone else might be calling, but you don't know. Maybe you rush someone off the air and then there's no one calling. And so here, you know, we got a little bit more sophisticated. We're able to not only have two callers on the air at the same time, but we're also still have people call in and at least be put in the queue. Like, for example, on Thursday mornings during Khadija and the White Guy, they're getting a whole bunch of calls, you know, if they mostly open up the phone lines and, you know, close to a dozen calls a week. Khadija's dad screens the calls in the other room. And sometimes he's got people, you know, he's holding in the other room while they've got a couple people on the air. So that's a sophistication we wouldn't have had at the old facility. And there's a lot of things like that. The seven-second delay, I mean, it's fairly new. I mean, within the last 10 years or so, maybe 15 years.
I'm going to jinx myself if I say this, but I want to say it, so I'm going to. I've never had to use a seven-second delay, and I have live people out here.
You sound like a cop who's like, yeah, I've never had to use my weapon.
Yeah, I've never had to draw. I didn't have to do it.
But that's another good thing. And then we've got this PAL system that we can help automate, and it saves a lot of money, and it's a lot more. Like we used to, there was a period of time where we would download some of the syndicated programs, then burn them onto a CD, and then play the CD. And a lot of that's been eliminated, so we're greener in that sense. So, yeah, things are, you know.
Yeah, it's not a fundraising day, but if you feel so inclined, you're welcome to call in. Because people are here. I know Phil's up there.
Yeah.
Phil, one of the more steady of all the volunteers. He comes on certain days, and unless it's a holiday, and technically today is a holiday, Martin Luther King's birthday.
That's right.
But and special events are coming up and coordinated with that. But and we'll talk about that in a second. But he often will come, except for holidays. He's here today because of the importance of the day, and some of us need his help up there, up front, as we need your help sometimes too with technical issues and things like that. But glad to have those volunteers, especially Phil. He's a great guy. He's been a very steady volunteer.
He's the straw that stirs the drink.
That's true. Some people have more of a presence around here than others. You have a large presence, of course.
Yeah. I'm working on losing some weight.
Oh, he's skinny as a rail. Don't kid yourself. But there's a lot of events go on here. It's hard to keep track of all of that. Thank goodness some of you are here to help us do that. For instance, there are events today in commemoration of Martin Luther King's birthday.
Yeah, I think there's been things going on all day with regard to that. There's a big mass celebration tonight, and Kansas City has the largest or one of the largest Martin Luther King's interfaith celebrations in the country, and it's taking place at Friendship Baptist Church. And earlier in the day, which is at 3530 Chelsea in Kansas City, but earlier today at the same church, this has been a Martin Luther King Day tradition that the American Friends Service Committee and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference of Greater Kansas City put on this panel during the day to discuss deconstruct some of Martin Luther King's legacy. So today at 3:30 at Friendship Baptist Church, there's a panel of community leaders, and there'll be a chance to hear their perspectives and what their organizations are doing to reject policies of hate, scapegoating, discrimination, and to create the beloved community that Martin Luther King spoke about. So they're going to talk about how people can support each other, about the 8-cent sales tax to reinvest in economically abandoned East Side, Kansas City, Missouri neighborhoods. So Micah Kubik, executive director of the ACLU of Kansas, will be on the panel along with Nubia Estefez, who's a community organizer in the Undocumented Community for El Centro. Musa El-Bayoumi is the board chair of the Kansas chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Karen Curls is a member of the Urban Summit. She's a PhD. She's with Penn Valley Community College, and she's the Social Science Division chair. Margaret May, who's the president of the Ivanhoe Neighborhood Association. Also, Margaret is somehow like on some kind of civilian board with the national EPA. And then Don Maxwell, developer of the Linwood Shopping District, all responding to economic abandonment and deterioration, particularly on Kansas City's east side. So that takes place from 3:30 to 5 today I am going to try and get down and record it for a possible broadcast, but there's no guarantees that that we'll get a good recording. So that's one thing. And then there was supposed to be something yesterday in Olathe, that due to the weather or weather fears, was postponed until next week. Another Martin Luther King. You'll hear the public service announcement. We'll hear about that. So it should have been yesterday, but it's going to air next week. I mean, not air, but will be. Sorry, I've got my radio hat on. It will be next Sunday out in Olathe.
Yeah, when you record these things, and you often will record it, All Souls,
right.
I know, and then it plays back on a certain program. Let's let the people know when that program is that they can hear these things.
So we do have a program called All Souls Forum that airs Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m., and for the most part, it's recordings of these forums that the All Souls UU Church puts on at 10 a.m. on Sundays. They do it just pretty much during, like, the school year. So they start in September. Labor Day weekend's probably the first one, or Memorial Day weekend's probably the last one. And so we air them a week and a half later. Not everyone wants to be aired, or maybe there's sometimes issues, and sometimes we have other things that we record around town to be played instead. And certainly during the summer, we play a lot of those. So something like this Martin Luther King event today would be something that we'd have ready to go in case there was a problem with the regular All Souls Forum. Some people don't want it to be broadcast. They don't mind, speaking, but they don't want to give their permission for their talk to be broadcast. So we have this, other opportunities. So the last couple of weeks, I guess there was a little bit of a winter break hiatus at All Souls. So we aired a couple of interesting things. We aired, and you can check out these podcasts. They're on KKFI.org. But last week we aired stories from Standing Rock. And it was folks who had gone up to the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation and came back to the Uptown Arts Bar and shared their stories. And also we had Clyde Clifford, who was a lot of folks around here who grew up around here. He's an underground radio god back in the 60s and 70s on AM radio out of Arkansas. But people, you could pick it up here at night. And so he was the keynote speaker at the Grassroots Radio Conference in October. Jeff Humfeld and I went down there and recorded him, and we aired that. And so you can check these podcasts out as well. Is there any chance that this person calling in is our guest? Or
no.
No. Oh, okay.
No. I was hoping, but not that I don't enjoy your company.
With
Mike Murphy, the chief operator of KKFI, getting caught up on some goings on around here. This is the commemoration of Martin Luther King's life here on this Monday, and it's a federal holiday that. The bank is closed, for instance, but we're here, and so you keep the radio on. You're going to hear some good information, all that. You were talking about the events up in the Dakotas involving the pipeline. What's going on with that? I heard that there was an injunction to stop it temporarily. Has anything happened since then?
No, nothing's happened since then, I don't think. I mean, there's still people up there in the event that things get resumed, people, I'd imagine, on both sides, people building the pipeline and people resisting. What the Army Corps of Engineers did was withhold granting an easement. They'd already granted permission to dig under the river, but that this was an easement to get to that point without an environmental impact study being done. So I don't know if that study is taking place. I don't know if it's possible to do something. What that involves, being on the ground in North Dakota in January. So I don't know if everything's, forgive the pun, frozen up there, but that maybe this. That's all I know. I do know there's people, this Monique Gabrielle Salazar, who we recorded and aired last week. She's been asked to go back up there, and she's going to be going up for a week, and we'll he's taking supplies up again. So there's folks still up there and still going up there and still.
It has to be getting cold for them, too.
It was getting cold in October. It was too cold as far as I'm concerned. So it's amazing what people can withstand.
Yeah, well, since you mentioned digging under the river, I can see where that would be a major concern. I think they should redirect that somehow so that doesn't have to be the case. That sounds like that could be a major problem if there would ever be a leak.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would be a big problem, and we're downstream of that very river.
Yeah, we are. It would come this direction, so it affects more than just the people there. Talking about all the goings on today, we cover events like this here on KKFI. A number of shows on KKFI cover these events. You mentioned your All Souls Forum. What other shows would talk about these things?
Well, you know, who was really did great work on this was Rhonda Lavaldo and Native Spirit on Sunday afternoons. Rhonda's program is Sunday at 5 p.m. I mean, she had a lot of contacts there on the ground. Rhonda herself had been up there in Standing Rock, and she had a lot of contacts on the ground. And so she had some interesting programs, and we did on Eco Radio as well, and continue to cover it there. And Eco Radio, of course, is Monday at 6 p.m., right after Mother's Mix.
Yeah. We have shows that cover these things. If you're interested, look at the KKFI website for information. You can call here and ask people when these shows aired. But if you're interested in these subjects, but you don't know when to listen, there are ways you could find out. I would suggest going to the website or calling someone here to find out when these they're public affairs type programs. Now, the Native American Spirit involves music also.
Right, yeah. I mean, she kind of mixes it up. Sometimes it's more of one than the other. Uh-huh. But she's a very important program here on KKFI. And just one other thing about very important programs. This week at 6 p.m., we're airing a mini version of the Homelessness Marathon, and it's only 4 hours. So it's from 6 to 10 p.m., voices of actual homeless people sharing their plight. And you got to feel for people without homes and whatever like this.
And I also promised that I would mention this. The ACLU of Kansas activists are having an open house tomorrow, Tuesday, January 17th at 6:30 p.m. in the Sylvester Powell Jr. Community Center in the multipurpose room. That's over in Mission at 6200 Martway in Mission, Kansas. The executive director of the ACLU of Kansas will provide a concise overview of the ACLU and a preview of coming issues at state and national levels. A brief discussion with an opportunity for questions and answers will follow. Learn how you can get involved from sharing ACLU posts on social media, joining an ACLU issue advisory group. They need you. They look forward to seeing you there. They would like for you to RSVP if you can, and that would be info@aclukansas.org. That's coming up, of course, an open house tomorrow night. It's over, and I know where that is. That's right across the street from the Barn Players location in Mission,
exactly.
Kansas.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a nice area to come. So we're speaking here until one of the guests come, either from the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater, where they are presenting Photograph 51, the story of female scientist Rosalind Franklin. That would have been a great interview to talk about some of the things that she was involved in. She was really groundbreaking in many, many ways. Their show runs January 19th through the 29th at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. They're located just down the street from us at 3614 Main. The number to call over there for more information is 816-569-3226 or online at metkc.org. We're speaking with our own Mike Murphy. There's a number of Mike Murphys in town. Do you ever get confused with the older gentleman who's passed away who did a talk show for many years on AM radio?
It still happens.
It still does?
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while. Because of the fact that I'm on radio, people think, oh, you must be that guy. I expected an older
gentleman.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Well, he has since passed away. There's also a Michael Murphy who directs over at Channel 19.
That's correct.
Have you met him as well?
I have not met him. I did meet the other Mike Murphy, the late Mike Murphy. Uh-huh. But I did not meet Michael Murphy over at KCPT.
Yeah, well, you're You're an outstanding activist in your own right. What kinds of organizations are you involved with?
Well, I work with the American Friends Service Committee a lot.
Well, that's why Ira called you.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's right.
Ira being heavily involved in that.
That's right. And so they're putting on that event today, AFSC, along with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And that's a big thing. And yeah, Ira Harrod has been a big... important part of the Kansas City community for many, many years. And he'll be retiring, I think, the end of this year. And so it's going to be a sad day for Kansas City.
Well, do activists really retire?
Yeah.
They just go to part-time status usually.
Maybe, yeah.
I've been to he and his wife's place. They have a big garden out in back.
Right.
Have you ever walked the maze in their garden?
Right. They've been on the the urban farm tour before. Yeah, it's pretty cool that they've got a lot of good stuff happening there. Yeah, it's a great garden.
Now, they believe in growing things on their own property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah, growing your own food is a good thing. I mean, they say that these days the average bite of food takes 1,500 miles before it got to your fork.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's a lot of petroleum being used, a lot of fossil fuels, a lot of other stuff. And, you know, you just hear these stories of, you know, a strawberry truck from California passing a strawberry truck from New Jersey going the other way, and, you know. So local is better, and if you can grow your own, that's great. And certainly I know people, I do it, and have. I still have tomatoes. I'm still not on the vine, but I, you know, I still have plenty to use. I've got at least another batch of tomato soup to make from tomatoes I grew this summer.
Yeah.
And peppers.
So you make your own tomato soup.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're dedicated. I will say that. Yeah. Yeah. What other shows would we like to highlight that give people information of this kind of nature?
Well, we talked about Eco Radio. That's on tonight at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have folks from the Audubon Society of Kansas talking about Eagles Days tonight.
Oh yes, yeah. Yes.
And so then. Of course, tomorrow at noon, during this time slot, a lot of people like Interfaith Voices that have a lot of different faith perspectives. That's a pretty... I like that show because it's kind of like a safe space. People come in and, you know, you might have be curious to ask people about their religion, but be afraid to ask. But here, this is kind of like a window into that world and where people get to... In a judgment-free zone, you get to... Yeah, that's good.
And it talks about a variety of different religions. I've heard it occasionally.
Right, yeah. It's very compelling. It's, and then, of course, on Wednesday at this time slot is Art Speak Radio with Maria Vasquez Boyd. And you are getting a lot of great information for the arts world here in this town, and she does a lot of great stuff from noon to one. She packs a lot in to that program, and that's another great source of information.
And she's an artist herself.
Yes, she is.
She had a KKFI. It was an exhibit in commemoration for past KKFI people who have passed on, and there have been some. But that was over at the... Oh, where was it? It was on the west side over there. That art.
Yeah, Maddie Rhodes.
Yeah, Maddie Rhodes.
Yeah.
Is exactly right. That's where she had it. In commemoration of some of the KKFI people who have passed away. And, you know, if you've been here a number of years, you've known some of those people who have passed away.
Yeah.
And, which would be normal in the population to have people leave us in that way. That would happen. But it feels especially unkind here because at least I knew all those people personally.
Right.
And that makes it a little more difficult and all the more poignant to see that. Some of you out there, you only know these people from hearing them on the radio, but if you come to more KKFI events, you would get to know some of the people in person here. So that would be more personal to you as well. We have a lot of volunteers here. It's hard to determine how many at any given time. There was a volunteer orientation, welcome, meet and greet, was it yesterday? It was Saturday. Scheduled. Did that come off, or was that canceled because of the weather?
Good question. I kind of laid low on Saturday. I was thinking it was this coming Saturday, but I could be wrong about that.
Well, maybe. Well, then if that's true, then you still have a chance to come and see that. So it would be here at the station, and you would get a tour. You would get told about volunteer opportunities that you could have here. And I might add, some of the people who have been volunteers in the past, even though they didn't want to be on-the-air people, have become on-the-air people. And you'll hear us during fun drives always talk about the guest disc jockey slots, which sell for, I guess, a $200 donation. Or has that gone up since then?
No, I think it's during the fun drive, at least, I think it's $150.
Now, yeah. I'm always surprised at the people who do that because they want to be a disc jockey for a day, and then will often become so enamored with it, they will go on and actually go through the process and become a disc jockey here on this radio station. Yeah, I get a kick out of seeing that happen.
We've had a few of those, so yeah, that is a good thing.
It is. Well, thank you so much for sitting in here and keeping us up on what's going on. It's always great to have you around, especially when there's problems. Mike Murphy, the chief operator here at KKFI, getting you caught up on a little bit of the behind-the-scenes, or not necessarily always behind-the-scenes, activities of what's going on here at KKFI. We're going to take a break. When we return, we're going to talk with the Spinning Tree Theater Group. They have a very interesting show coming up, Shipwrecked. When we return, you're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM.
Hi, I'm Russ Simmons with Freeze Frame, KKFI's weekly look at the newest cinematic fare at your local theaters. Mark Wahlberg and director Peter Berg give the 2013 Boston Marathon.
Kansas City Community Radio. I'll finish it for. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. It is the day when we commemorate and memorialize Dr. Martin Luther King. We had at least I had a text message earlier saying, why don't you play the entirety of his famous I Have a Dream speech? I know Linda, Luscious Lynn, who has the show before me, she played a part of it. And let me just briefly explain why we can't do that. The King family actually owns the rights to the speech. You can only play so much of it. That's why you don't hear it in its entirety very often. So we could only play that. Please understand that. It's not any slight is intended and all that, but if you wanted to do the whole thing, you would have to make arrangements with them, the rights holders, to do that. And that's why that doesn't happen. But we'd love to. It's always a great speech to play. It was right there by the reflecting pond in front of the Lincoln Memorial. Well, you've seen the video. I don't need to tell you, which happened many, many years ago. Well, we're here. Spinning Tree Theater is with us. They are about to put on their show, Shipwrecked. It opens, when does it open, Charles? I wrote this.
We have our first preview this Thursday, January 19th, and then previews Thursday and Friday, and then opens this Saturday, January 21st.
Yeah, Charles Fugate. Actor Charles Fugate is with us. You have heard him on this show before. You have seen him around town. You have also seen him with the Kansas City Repertory Theater. He at least works every Christmas season.
Well, did. I've taken the time off. I took this Christmas off.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he has also, you've seen him at the Unicorn Theater, the Living Room Theater, K-Cat. The new theater, Starlight. He gets around town.
It's true. It's true.
And but he always does interesting roles. This one is particularly interesting. It's called Shipwrecked. It's a production, of course, of Spinning Tree Theater. The Spinning Tree Theater production of Shipwrecked is going to be, I should get this said right off the top, at the Just Off Broadway Theater, 3051 Pin Valley Drive. They actually named that little street. Where you, at times, should I admit this, you had to back into, because as you come down, you either had to do a U-turn and come in. You can't get a ticket retroactively, can you?
I don't think so.
But they actually named it. There actually is a street there now. It's called Pin Valley Drive.
Yeah.
And the number to call for information on ticketing and things of that nature is the Central Ticket Office, so 816-235-6222, or online at SpinningTreeTheater.com. But Charles is with us. He's going to tell us all about the show. It's directed, I see, by Vanessa Severo.
Yeah.
Is this her directing debut?
No, she's directed before, but not a ton in town professionally. She's just great. She's brought, you know, this is a remount of a show that we did in 2013. Oh, it's not a remount. It's a show that they did in 2013, and we're, sort of bringing a fresh new take to it. And Vanessa brought just great new creative energy to the show, and it's been a delight working with her. And she and I are close friends, so it's like, you know, it's like working with your best friend, you know. You go, hey, can I do this? And she goes, hey, can you do that? And, you know, it works out really, really, really well.
That's good that you have a good working relationship.
Absolutely.
With her, because you've appeared with her in many different productions.
A lot. Most recently at the Living Room in Annapurna. We were playing opposite each other in a two-hander there, so... Yeah.
You have a special relationship with the Living Room as well.
I've done a number of shows there. They're a great place to work. As is Spinning Tree. Spinning Tree is, they're very, very good to their artists and have always been very, very good to me. I actually brought this script to them. It was a play that I saw in Minneapolis in 2011 or something like that, and got the script and brought it to them and said, hey, I love this play. Would you like to do it? And they did, and we felt like we did a great production of it. They've taken some audience surveys, and this was their most requested Let's See It Again show. And it gives us an opportunity this time to do it in a little bigger space. Last time it was at Paul Messner Puppet Studio, which had great advantages. The space itself was wonderful, but people were a little unfamiliar with how to get there. The seating was small. I think people sort of misunderstood that maybe it was a puppet show or a children's show, neither of which it is, although those elements both feature into it.
Sure.
So it gives us a chance to revisit the show and show a bunch of people who haven't seen it before this show that we're really, really proud of. And, of course, Spinning Tree Theater's grown so much, and they have a season subscriber base now, which they didn't back then, that that allows them to see it too. So we just think it's a great show and a great story, and we're delighted to be telling it.
Yeah, over the years they've been at different locations, but they're at the just off Broadway now,
right?
Which is a good location for them, I think.
Yeah, and they've made some parking improvements to just off Broadway within the last couple of years, so it's easier to find, easier to park. There's security out there when at night when folks are there and stuff. So it's there's no problems at all getting there and feeling secure while you're there. So,
yeah. Well, tell us about this show. Obviously, it was a favorite of yours.
Yeah.
It's called Shipwrecked, and the character you play.
Louis de Rougemont. The full title of the show is Shipwrecked and Entertainment, The Amazing Adventures of Louis de Rougemont as Told by Himself. And Louis de Rougemont, he was a real guy. He lived in England. He showed up in England in the late 19th century, claiming to have left 30 years ago and been shipwrecked, and found troves of precious black pearls, and been attacked by a giant octopus, and ridden on the backs of sea turtles, and had seen flying wombats, and became a member of an Aboriginal tribe, and married into the tribe, and became their chief. And he came back to England and told them his story in a serialized magazine, and he became just the talk of the town. He was quite a media darling, and just had instant fame and fortune, and then people began to debunk his claims. and he was eventually driven into poverty and obscurity and died penniless because people said none of the things that you say claim to have taken place could have taken place.
Well, how do they know?
Well, for instance, or at least as dramatized in Shipwrecked, an expert stands up and says, you know, you claim to have ridden on the back of sea turtles, and sea turtles would not let a man ride on their back. You claim to have seen flying wombats, and there are no such thing as flying wombats. The octopus you described as having attacked one of your crewmates could never have existed in that size. There's a picture of, at the very back of the script, there's a picture of Louis de Rougemont actually riding a turtle in some London aquarium. Probably he was exaggerating the truth at best, but there's a degree of truth to it, and that's what's so beautiful about this play. It's written by Donald Margulies, and he's a Pulitzer Prize winner. It's a beautifully written play. It's just poetry in some places, as Louis describes his adventures. But it becomes kind of a reflection on, you know, what's truth. I mean, what is truth? What's truth versus what is fact? And, you know, particularly nowadays, those are good questions to ponder on, you know, with the way culture is and the way our media is and you know, how much we see online that may be true, that may not be true. So,
well, and in a situation like that, I don't really see the harm.
Yeah.
He was relating activities, and did he exaggerate a little? Probably. Yeah. Did it make for entertaining reading for the readers in England and otherwise? It probably did.
Exactly. He claims at one point, he says, you know, if I'm guilty of anything, it's of drabbing a few spots of color on the otherwise drab canvas of life.
And oh, sure.
There's certainly value in that. You know, the essence of good storytelling is elaboration and exaggeration sometimes.
Did they question the whole concept of him being shipwrecked, or was it just the activities that happened?
The activities that happened, yeah. Largely, at least according to the script, as Margulies has written it. You know, they say he may have been lost for 3 years, but in the meantime, we found this woman who claims that he was married to her and then walked out on her, you know, back in Australia. So, you know, his sanity is called into question, and, you know, he's attacked personally, and it's quite a ride for Louis de Rougemont.
Yeah, but there isn't any question then that he was in fact shipwrecked for a time. And how did that come about? I guess I'm getting ahead of myself.
A great storm came and destroyed the ship.
At least
as he tells it. But it's a wonderful. It's also, you know, it's just also one of those experiences that's just sort of, it's almost pure theater, because it's really me telling the story with the help of two other actors, Bob Linebarger, who was in the previous production with us, and then Megan Herrera is the second actor, and they play all of the other characters. So from the ship's captain to Bruno, my faithful dog, who accompanies me on the expedition, to the Queen of England, to the Aborigines, all the sound effects are made by them. You know, and it's really the proper. These are found objects. So a mop becomes an Aboriginal tribesman, and you're really, really just seeing someone create a story and tell you a story kind of out of thin air with what's sitting around them. And you know, that's theater. That's good theater. And we had doubts the first time we did it. As I said, I had seen the production before and just loved it. But, you know, when you're in the middle of it and you're putting it up and you've never done it before, you go, oh, God, are they going to buy this? Are they going to believe this? And I had a friend who brought his 6-year-old son, and I would catch out of the corner of my eye as I said, look, an octopus, and point to the other side of the stage, and I'd see the child look at the octopus and continue to look at the octopus that wasn't there. You know, I was like, wow, it really works. It really does it. So,
well, that sounds like that would be a lot of fun for
you. Great fun. It's great fun. It's great work. I mean, it's a haul. It's 90 minutes, no intermission, and it's a very physical show. Vanessa's done a great job of. She's a very physical person. She's a dancer as well, and has brought just a lot of movement and a lot of really, really beautiful physical stuff into it. So, and we have a delightful lighting designer by the name of Nicole Jaja, who has the stage scapes that she paints with her lights are just beautiful. So, it's a show not to be missed. I humbly think.
Sure. Now, he's basically by himself.
For a lot of the time, he is. You know, and in the play, there the other two are never off stage for very long, but he spends 2.5 years just him and the dog on the island before he rescues a couple of Aborigines and eventually goes with them to where they live and is welcomed into their tribe. And
what an interesting adventure that would be. Not that I want to go through that.
Nor I.
No. That would be a horrible experience. Do you think, get myself in trouble, that the Tom Hanks movie ideas were perhaps stolen, if not directly, indirectly?
You know, I haven't seen that film, so I'm not sure. But it's, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of things about being shipwrecked on an island that would be in common with any person.
What kind of dilemmas does he have that he has to think through?
How to survive.
Most of his, yeah. And of course, he's thinking, thankfully for the audience, out loud.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking. Exactly, exactly.
So, but you're hearing what his innermost thoughts
right,
are.
Right, sure. You know, his very first undertaking is to try to build a fire. And he finds a broken looking glass in one of the trunks that washed ashore and builds a fire and keeps it going all the time so that the smoke will attract a passing ship, except there are no passing ships. He gradually becomes accustomed to his life there and finds that it becomes his home when he eventually does leave with the Aborigines who have washed up on the shore as well and leaves to go to their home. He has tears in his eyes because, you know, this has been his home for 2.5 years. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And it has been large sense.
Exactly.
I suppose home is... Oh, well, what was the line? Home is where the heart is.
Something like that.
Remember the Woody Allen movie where he made fun of that? Where's your home? My home is in the highlands. My heart is in the highlands. Therefore, the highlands are my home. But I've never been to the highlands. But that's the mind of Woody Allen.
Right.
Yeah. But he spends that time there. Of course, his life is completely changed.
Right.
Now.
Right.
But is he thinking in terms of, if I could ever get out of here?
Oh, sure.
I'm going to write about
longs
these experiences.
Longs to be home. And again, according to the script, it doesn't ever occur to him that this might be the fodder for an adventure tale until he arrives back in England and finds it utterly changed. You know, in those 30 years between 1869 and 1898, you know, industrialization has happened.
Oh, yes.
And the rise of, you know, print media and serialized magazine stories. And his mother, actually, he finds his mother and she suggests to him, you ought to write this down.
Uh-huh.
And so he does.
Has he ever done any writing before this occurred? Was this a completely new thing?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, so he probably did... color it up.
I'm certain that he did.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with that. It depends on how it's... If it were a news story.
Right.
You can't do that. This is not that.
Right.
This is his own remembrances with a little folly put
right.
into it.
Right.
See, personally, I don't see the harm. At least not anything where he would be castigated from society and
right.
die penniless
right.
and all of that.
And yet he was. You know how society can be. They jump on something and run with it. And that's something that he points out, too. You know, there'll always be man-made gods that the hoi polloi eagerly create and just as eagerly destroy. He's just one in a long, illustrious line of those.
Yeah.
So he's telling you the story the night that you're at the play to try to salvage his good name before he dies. He's a very old man in the telling of the story at the end and wants one last time to attempt to save his good name.
Did the writer of the play obviously knew of his situation? Was this the author's way, perhaps, of trying to give the man some respect back?
You know, I couldn't speak to that. I know that Donald Margulies wrote an article for the New York Times around the time of the publication of this play, and he said that, you know, he was very much trying to get at the heart of storytelling. He's very much trying to get at the heart of, you know, just pure theater, just, you know, a bare stage with a few props, and very much trying to tell stories that, you know, his children as well as his parents could enjoy, you know, and so he was working from a theatrical storytelling point of view and found a perfect vehicle for it in the story of this man, Louis de Rougemont.
It sounds like it would be a lot of fun for you, but also very difficult. I mean, the majority of this is on your shoulders.
Yeah. I mean, it's not in any way to lessen the work that Megan and Bob do in the show, but it's kind of 90 minutes of me talking. And I had foolishly thought that, oh, those lines will just come rushing back into my head after 4 years. And it took a while. And my body is 4 years older than it was as well. You know, we get to the point where I'm starting to do somersaults. And I was like, wow, I don't remember it hurting this much the last time I did it. But, but it's great fun. It's a great journey and a great story to tell. And it just, if anything, it feels even smoother and more complete this time around in the telling of it since I've got 4 more years under my belt.
Oh, sure. Megan and Bob play multiple characters.
Yes.
Let's talk about some of those people, how they might fit into the story.
Well, sure. Megan starts off as my mother. I begin telling the tale when I'm a little boy. And she's my mother. She is Captain Jensen, a drunken sea captain who I faithfully encounter, and that takes me off on my journey to begin with. And she plays Yamba, one of the Aborigines that I rescue and eventually fall in love with and marry. She plays the editor of the magazine that publishes the story. Bob, as I said, plays my dog, Bruno. Very funny, very successfully. And he's also Gunda, Yamba's father. He plays the Queen of England at one point. they both are various people in the streets, ship crewmen, reporters, journalists. He's a paper boy. It's just they put on a lot of different hats, literally and physically. So.
Did he in fact really marry an Aborigine woman? Did she return with him?
Hard to say.
England?
No.
There's his witness.
No. Right.
Yeah. That would have been his wit. saved his reputation a little. But she probably didn't want to do that.
In our telling of the story, she does not want to. She initially, they set off and tried to return home, and they find themselves going in circles on the sea and wind up back where they started. And by that time, she's decided she appreciates her life where it is and that they should go their separate ways, and he should find his home. And
sure.
So he sets off to do that.
I can actually understand that. The show opens this Thursday, January 19th, and runs through February 5th. What is a typical week like? Is it always Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
I believe it's Wednesday. This first week is Thursday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. The remaining 2 weeks will be Wednesday through Sunday. Okay. And if I'm remembering correctly, it's 7:30 Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, and 2 o'clock p.m. on Sunday.
And a matinee on Sunday afternoon.
Correct. Runs about 90 minutes, no intermission, in and out pretty quickly. And it's great for, on their website, they say it's 9 and up. As long as someone's younger than 9 and likes to hear a good story told, there's nothing inappropriate in the show that wouldn't be good for someone who's 8 or 80. So
sounds like it would fit almost all audiences for you. The show opens the 19th, runs through February the 5th. It's at the Just Off Broadway Theater, 3051 Pin Valley Drive, on the very south side of Pin Valley Park. The number of the central ticket office is 816-235-6222. I know this very well. A lot of organizations use the central ticket office. And Spinning Tree Theater has a number of their own. I'll also give that out for informational purposes. That is 816-569-5277. And, of course, they have a website you can check out anytime, SpinningTreeTheater.com, for information on Shipwrecked or some of the other shows in the schedule that they have coming up. But performances do open this Thursday 9th and 19th.
It's just a few days away.
Yes, and you're getting ready. Have you successfully got all those lines back in your head?
I think so. There's a little more work to be done yet today and tomorrow before we hit our dress rehearsals tomorrow night. But, yeah,
And when you're basically, and there are other performers playing different roles, of course, but you're, for a lot of the time, you're basically talking to yourself out loud.
Yeah. Well, to a degree, it's certainly my inner thoughts, but it's I'm speaking, to the audience and interacting with the audience, and that's something I'm really excited about this time around. I'm recalling that the last time we did it, and we did it with a week less worth rehearsal last time, just getting to the first preview performance, just trying to make sure I've got the order of it and I've got it all in my head was, that's all that was in my head. Uh-huh. And now I'm realizing, how much, you know, this is always the case in theater, but particularly in this where it's where I'm speaking to the audience. The audience is my scene partner, and the audience is, you know, the character that never shows up until opening night and isn't there at rehearsals. So I'm dying to get an audience and to have people to talk to and people to tell the story to, because that's what this play is about, is Louis talking to the people who have come to hear him defend his life.
Yeah, without, I don't want you to give anything away. Does he hold up well mentally through the process?
Come see it.
Okay. Right. I suspect it as
well. Yeah,
much.
I'll say, you know, when everything is called into question and he's so certain that he did all the things he did, you know, that would take a toll mentally on a person, and one would begin to question whether one is deluded or not.
He may be exaggerating, but just think of the situation. Mm-hmm. Consider it would be hard not to think things like that. It really would in such a situation.
Right.
It really would. Right. Charles Fugate has been with us. Briefly, Charles, actors always have things planned, sometimes for a long ahead of time. Do you have a...
I do not.
You
I
do
have
not.
A blank slate afterwards. I've had a lot of changes in my life recently, so I'm taking a little bit of time off and just being a family man.
Okay.
My mother is in town now, and so I get the great pleasure of spending time with her a lot, and so there may be some time at the lake this summer, and some time devoted to my desk job, and my husband, and my mom, and
sure.
our dog, and if something great comes along, that's great, too.
But, sounds like he's available, though. Probably for the right deal.
Available for consideration, right. Or your consideration, isn't that what they say around this time of year?
Probably for the right deal, you may get him to alter his plans. But great to have you here.
Thanks,
always, always very informative. Charles Fugate, you've seen him at Spinning Tree before, at the New Theater, at Starlight, at KCAT, at the Living Room, at the Unicorn, at the Rep. And he's at Spinning Tree Theater now. Shipwreck, the story of a man, you judge for yourself.
That's right.
What he's up there doing. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mike.
And once again, we're going to mention our guest during the first half hour, Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. They are doing the show Photograph 51, the story of female scientist Rosalind Franklin. That show runs January 19th through the 29th at the Metropolitan Ensemble Theater. Once again, thank you, Charles.
Thank you.
As always, a great guest. Tells stories as he talks about the play. That makes it always a lot of fun. The Jazz Insider is next. He is in the house. He will be here. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3, then we'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.